broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening out there to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a hearty hello to all you light workers, you seed sowers, you truth tellers, you avatars, and our listening spirit and space force rangers. Shout out to you scholars out there whose work is not for sissies. We welcome you here to Empathic Channel. It's Monday, December 5th, 2023. December 4th, pardon me. Do I have the date right, or did I just not? No, it's December 4th. It still is. I just, so welcome. Anyway, to the little time warp again. We are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today, as it has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on the road to owning your own experience. Now, folks, I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace. And now, folks, I want to tell you about tonight's broadcast. Before I tell you about tonight's broadcast, this is a whopper. This is an in-depth broadcast. From the bullets that you see, there's a lot more meat and taters, and so we got some corn on the side. It's non-GMO there, and we got some all kinds of stuff. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of scriptures to cover, some other documents besides what's considered canonized scriptures. And we're also, if time permits, we want to do guided meditation. Haven't done that in a few years. So the Father was asking me if I was being willing to do that, and I got the things together to be willing to do that. And then we have another document as well I want to get to, and that is the Gospel of Truth, and we want to do a little bit of reading out of that as well. It'll explain some things and explain also why the Father's put an urgency in my heart to, pardon me, teach about this topic, because the one group of folks that I know of that are going to have the most problems with this are Protestant Christians, or as they say, evangelicals. Now, you can call them that. But they've always been Protestant. I don't know why they started calling it evangelical, but I know we spread the evangel, but there's just a thing. Anyway, the connections are clear and the pipes are wide open and the view of it all is spectacular on so many levels. And the we is inclusive, of course. We're blessed to be able to share with you all today. We do continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. It is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing. My goodness, guys, I want to tell you, tonight's topic is going to hopefully explain a few things about what's been going on through this Great Awakening, some of the energetic things, and I was in prayer about it and when to talk about it and all of that, and I was waiting on the Father to say, okay, now, and I had to hear from it, and then I had to make sure I heard from it. Had a Gideon moment there a little bit. Did I hear that right? Yeah, so we're going to do this. So tonight's topic is conscious contact. Now, I have the outline of a class that I had prepared some years ago, but we're going beyond that preparation, so we're just going to go ahead and go forward with that. We're going to talk about conscious contact. We're going to talk all about all of those factors, and this is why. Because God's calling. He's talking. He is. And he's letting us know what he wants through the Holy Spirit. But it seems as though there are blockages in some areas of some areas of folks, right? People are in little cliques, and they have the little denominations and all this stuff, and folks are having a hard time with it. And there's also some things that we've been told of, that if you do this, for a very long time we've been told of the story that if you do this, then you're wicked and you're going to go to hell. God doesn't say those things directly like that. He talks about the heart and stuff, and when we get to those particular topics, we'll find those out. So we're going to, you know, the Father gave me a big chunk of stuff to bring you this evening. So big a chunk is the stuff that I got is that we're going to do 2 hours, right? With 2 hours worth of chunks of stuff, complete with, when I put it all together, it'll be all pop up, but complete with all of the scriptures that are going together. And the end result of this, I have down at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio page there, that if you would like, after listening to this broadcast and seeing how much more meat there is, that I just like listed the menu. There's you can't see all the goodies in it. That if you would like an in-depth outline of this teaching with accompanying scriptures, you know, they pop out and they're cute, but it's not fancy. It's just what we need to do. You can send your confidential request to LeandraGrace@proton.me. That's Leandra with an H. Grace, LeandraGrace@proton.me, and put in the subject line conscious contact, and then what I will do is send you a PDF copy of the bulleted outline. Understand that if I put it on the Blog Talk Radio page, it would take a lot of scrolling, and it wouldn't be as enjoyable. So what we have right there is what we're going to go with for tonight. You're going to see that there's lots of other goodies in that. So if you are interested at the end of the broadcast or podcast, Pod People, we love you too. Feel free to send me that email. When I say confidential, it means it doesn't matter who sends it to me. Nobody needs to know who's asking for the request, and I will be more than happy to send it to whoever that is. All boundaries and dignity of person apply, just like on the broadcast, as well as within the mail queue. That sounded kind of fun. So conscious contact. You know, usually we start out with world stage stuff. We talk a little bit about the headlines and things like that. We're not going to do that tonight. And tonight we're going to jump right into the topic because there's a lot to get to, and I think we're going to get to a lot more than I'd even planned. And the Father's letting me know to get ready. So we're going to get ready. Now, I'm going to go ahead first before we start. I'm going to go ahead and pray and lift this up to the Father, because this is a challenging teaching to hear. This is not a challenging teaching for me to teach necessarily, although there's a lot to it. This is a challenging teaching to hear if you haven't heard some of these things before. Understand that the Father has given us many gifts, and many avenues to acquire them, many ways to use them. And sometimes it takes a long time, or it takes a little while to realize them. But understand that God's always in control, and the power that would come upon you would be the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to briefly talk about Pentecost, but that's not what this topic is about. So the Father hears his children, always. The Father can always hear you. He hears this as a chorus of collective voices continually. He is the maestro with the finely tuned ear. The instant that we sing off notes spiritually, now I know not everybody's gifted with the vocal gift, and that's okay. That's fact, not a fault. But when we sing off notes spiritually, he knows. And when we pray, he hears. When we pray in Christ, when we pray through the Son, when we pray in the name, his Son's name. So the Father is always speaking to his children. We know this because we've gone over Psalm 19 over and over again. There's so many things in it. And I did want to say this about that also. I re-listened to Friday night's broadcast, and there is half a teaching missing from that broadcast. Half of a point is missing, to where I just throw something out there and it doesn't seem to be connected to anything. And I prayed about it, and the Father said he's going to make sure that hole is covered and filled in and everything's taken care of in this broadcast for the things that evidently there's some kind of a I'm gonna call it ignorant because it doesn't know right from wrong, evidently. But there's an ignorant intelligence, I guess, that is trying to take care of some of these little, you know, bites and things of my words, so things do not come out clear. The point is not either not clearly made, or it seems to be antithetical to what I would ever say. And so there were a couple of those places, and we're going to take care of those and cover those areas tonight. So let's go ahead and take this to the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity to come and teach this lesson that you've trusted me with. Help me with my words to deliver that meaning that you want the listeners to hear. I understand that the words that I use and the words that they hear may not be the same, but you will teach them through me if they're willing, and I appreciate the opportunity and the trust you placed in me to do this. Now, Father, I lift this up to you so I don't miss a beat. I lift this up to you so I don't leave anything out, nor do I add anything to those things that you gave to me. Father, help me to be reverent in this, even though we're going to giggle. I lift this program up to you and ask for a blessing for those who are listening, as well as my voice, that it only says those things that you'd have it to say. I lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so there we have that, because this is for the edification of all of us. So understand that there's going to be, just as the scriptures have told us, and just to scroll across page, and I'm going to take my time with this and get a tempo with this, because there's a lot to listen to and a lot to say. You know, we know that we were told in Joel that in the last days God is going to pour out the Spirit. Yahweh Elohim will pour out Holy Spirit. And that people are going to prophesy, and they're going to dream dreams, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. How's that work? How's that going to happen? You say, well, it's just going to happen. Okay, but how's that going to happen? And we know that in Acts, what is it, 2:17 and 18, I think is what I posted, at least one of those. You know, we're told again where Paul is quoting the prophet. And he says, you know, remember, in the latter days, saith the Lord, I'm going to pour out my spirit and on flesh, and everything's going to happen, and prophesies and dreams, and that's what he said. Here, there, little, there, it's the yada yada thing. That's what they said. So how's that going to work? If we've got all of these denominations that don't believe that anybody can hear from Holy Spirit in actuality, the only ones that get to hear from God are the preachers, or the only ones that get to, not everybody believes this, people. I'm just giving you the different types of views. So don't get in front of a bullet that doesn't have your name on it, okay? So, you know, we can either believe the scriptures and believe what God said, or we can come up with our own little side story of what we believe is really going to happen, even though what the scriptures say is what God said, and be in a state of disbelief and pouting in a corner and hands folded, because that's not what your preacher taught you. Well, what I'm going to teach you may not be what your preacher taught you, but what your preacher taught you was the same thing that the Jesuits taught them, and they were told, don't look, don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, don't speak in the Spirit, don't understand what it is the Father has to say to you, or what the Holy Spirit, what message the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. Understand that not every message that the Holy Spirit's going to bring to you is, oh, you look very lovely today. That's not the truth of it. If you are listening to a spirit, and we're going to talk about that, if you're listening to a spirit and all they're going to do is compliment you and not ask you to grow, that's a whispering spirit. That's one tickling your ears. Eventually it's going to want you to do something. So the Father is always speaking to his children. Do we know how to listen? If he's going to be pouring out his spirit, if his voice is always speaking, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, that means someone continually, God is continually telling us the truth. Do we hear it? They say, well, no, I'll just wait for them to tell me. Okay, you can do that. if you want to. Let's take a look at this for a minute. As we go through in tonight's broadcast, we're going to look at the motivations, methods, the chrism process is what I called it. That's not exactly what it is. Expectations and questions and then talents and, of course, stuff like that. And I have a great big long list of bullets. You guys have a little bit of listables, but we're going to get to that list in methodically. So the first question is, if you would want to seek a spiritual gift, if you are seeking a spiritual gift, or if you want to hear, be clairvoyant, clairaudient, or if you want to see and be clairvoyant, what do you want to see? What do you want to hear? What do you want to see? Why do you want to see it? What do you expect to hear and see? And why would you want to hear and see that? So what do you seek exactly? Because what you seek, you will find. What do you seek exactly? And why do you seek something spiritual? Now, Jesus died, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, ascended on high, and he's going to come. That's the gospel. That's a nutshell. There's a lot more to it. We're going to talk about it. How did Jesus hear? When he was walking on earth and he heard the Father, how did Jesus hear? Who was talking to him? The Father. How did he hear it? And why couldn't anybody else? And when the disciples, after the day of Pentecost, and they were speaking in tongues, and they were doing their prophecies, and they were doing all the little fun things that happens when everything opens up all at once because the breath of God is all over you, why, if it was a great big rushing wind, and we know that there were tongues of fire on there, all of the things we know, why did it not affect the others? Why did it not affect the guys that were watching them prophesy and speak in tongues and they were hearing them in their own language? Why didn't they get the same gift? Well, because they weren't all flesh yet. We weren't at this part of the program, right? But why weren't they affected? Why didn't they start speaking in tongues? Why didn't they have a spiritual awakening, boom, all of a sudden come to salvation, boom? The Spirit of the Lord is active, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, weighs through truth. Sometimes it's comfortable and sometimes it's not. Why do you seek a spiritual gift exactly? Because it's exacting. So when you're seeking, know what you want to seek and why you want to seek it. And then ask yourself, if you're looking for a spiritual gift so you can go, poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? Or are you expecting God, once you've done all the necessary obeisance and the this-is and that's and all that stuff, and you've gone through all these rigorous exercises that everybody said that you needed to go through, what do you need? Is that what you want? You want a vendor machine God? Let's take a look at that. Methods. Whom do you seek? Whom do you seek? Now, there's a way that seems right to a man. There is. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to destruction. There are ways of contacting the spirit realm, but some of them lead to destruction. And you say, well, Leanne Grace, you know, not everybody can be a prophet. The only people that can be a prophet are the ones who are a prophet for God. And I'm going to say that's not true. And that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures are very, very specific and very, very pointed when it comes to the prophets. Now, remember, back in the time of Jeremiah, I've got the scriptures pulled, but rather than reading them all and going through them, I'm going to paraphrase them. Father says we need more time at the end, so we're going to go ahead and do this paraphrasing at the beginning. Remember, in Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to pour my spirit out. Everybody's going to prophesy. Things are going to be good. But also remember in Jeremiah, before they got there, when Hezekiah the king was being a little boogerhead, he was going after Jeremiah because Jeremiah was telling him the truth. And the prophets were saying, everything's peace. No. Jerusalem's good. Sit on down. Eat your food. Drink your wine. Everything's cool. Don't worry about Jeremiah. He's kind of whoopee. He's an idiot. We don't want to listen to him. He's lying. He says we got a whole slew of prophets right here that were born into it and had their hierarchy of it and felt very good about themselves, and not a darn one of them had the word of the Lord in their mouth. So it's not station. Otherwise, the prophets in Jeremiah that were preaching peace when the father was telling him, no, it's not. Well, Yahweh at that point was going to teach you and say, no. I'm going to bring Babylon to kick your butt. And if you don't surrender, it's going to get kicked harder. It's kind of the way that went. And that's exactly what happened. And the whole time, Jeremiah is telling him, hey. And the prophets that were hired into their station that everybody knew, kind of like those televangelists that we see on there going, I knew, and all that stuff they do that they cannot do in real life. All the ones that pretend to heal, but they don't go to the hospitals to heal the sick for free. These are the ones that give us a bad name. These are the ones that undermined our faith. These are the ones that God is hot about, because they've set a very bad example and have stood in the way of you being able to see more of the truth, see more of the path, and see more of the glory that God has for each and every one of his children. And he's talking to us, but do we hear? Do we know how to listen? We're going to need to know how to listen, pardon that bump. We're going to need to know how to do that and what's going to be required. So let's go through some of these things real quick. We're going to bring the scriptures in and all of those things, but first of all, I want to get through some of these details, because some people are waiting for some very good details about some things. So whom do you speak? Whom do you seek? Because there is a way that seems right to a man, but its way leads to destruction. Now, what are some of the ways? Now, what we're talking about is the very fact that our body itself is an antenna. And so if we're seeking, then we know, and then we're going to go ahead and go down to the third one, right, just to touch on those, that we have the body as the antenna. There's a liquid medium in there. There's a spiritual energy. We'll talk about that in a minute and when we get to it. And then there's quantum of light. Now, quantum of light, that means light that is so small. We'll talk about that. Quanta, the smallest particle that there's a whole thing about that as well. There's quarks, but that's kind of quirky to talk about. Oh, she said it. So there is a way that seems right to man, but we know it leads to destruction. There are ways to improve this phenomenon. People want to know, well, how can I just have a spiritual experience synthetically? I'm going to cover it. And the reason I'm going to cover it, because it bears covering, because there's a danger and there's a warning and we need to get that there. So there's mechanical and synthetic ways to open up your third eye. And this is what we're talking about. Open up your spiritual pathways. You can see there on the Blog Talk Radio page, you see all the wonderful little graphics that we have. Aura about us. We've covered this on the program before. And we are electromagnetic organism, right? We have an electromagnetic aura. We have fluid in our body. Hopefully the electrolytes, as the very word tells us, hopefully the electrolytes are present so that it can carry the signal, so that our heart remembers, our heart gets the spark returned to it. That's where the spark begins. So the spark in the heart goes on out. All of the signals that go through all of the system, it's all electronic. It's all electromagnetic signaling. It's all quantum of light. When it gets down to it, all energy is quantum of light. It's the rate at which it vibrates that determines its frequency and its solidity and all of those things. So we need to understand that part of it. But it doesn't, you don't have to know Christ to have the gift of prophecy. That's what Jeremiah teaches us. And that's why when I go to the entrances, the introductions on the program, I remind everybody that not everybody who is gifted is in and of the light. We had Baal Peor. He was not gifted in and of the light, but he had the gift of prophecy. He knew better than to cross Yahweh or Elohim, but he didn't. He wasn't a lover of the Lord. So I just want to put that out there, that just as the Father has his servants and his prophets out there, so do the other guys. They don't know as much. They're not as good, and their spirits are lying, and they lie to each other just as much. They're just the same liars in spirit as they are when they're in the flesh. That's just the truth of it. So there's mechanical and there's synthetic means, but there's also, it's also, those means are temporary. And they're limited, and I'm going to give you, we may get through this a lot quicker than we thought until we get to the next one. And I want to give you a scripture to look at, and that's Exodus 32:20. And this is after Moses had come down from the mountain, and they were acting like idiots because they weren't impatient. They couldn't wait long enough. They decided that they were going to take matters into their own hands, and they made Aaron priest, and they had the false god. They did the calf, the golden thingy, yada, yada, yada. Moses came down, blows his lid, and then in Exodus 32, verse 20, it says, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. What is that about? Taking gold, a golden calf, it was gold, pretty much gold, no, you know, impurities about it, and he burnt it with fire, and he ground it to powder. This didn't happen in one verse. We're given one verse to explain it, but understand that this took time to pound it into white powder. That takes a lot, that's an enormous process. And then he strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And I want us to remember that the children of Israel, when they went through the desert with the, I'm going to make a little bit of a proposal here. The reason that Moses strawed the golden, the white gold powder, the gold white powder, it's just white powder gold, is basically what it is. It's called ormus. It is an orderly rearranged molecular element, mainly gold. And through the pounding and the firing process that he put it through, the monoatomic element actually orderly rearranged, that's what it is, and took on different properties, different physical properties. It did not display it. It did not retain our normal laws of physics. For instance, it loses mass, or pardon me, not mass, but it keeps its mass, size, but it loses its weight. What is it, by 51%? So yeah, there's about 51, sometimes up to 150%, depending on the application of the element. And it also was said to excite the emotional and the telepathic centers, let me go with throat. A little while, and then, of course, get a drink. Ooh, got a little bit of a dry throat going on. So that's a mechanical means there. Now, in history, we see writings on the wall that show us the history of this going on. Let me get a drink. And there were two types of ormus. One was white and one was red, and the one that was red, I do believe, was mixed with blood. And so we can understand that on the world stage, what we have going on now and today, it was said to give longevity of life and to do all of those things. And so we can kind of see some of the things that are going on today might line up with that. Now, taking the blood out of it, it was actually something holy that could be ingested and used. And I'm going to leave it right there because there are other texts that back this up. There's very few allusions within the canonized texts that we have in our possession to this particular substance. So I'm going to leave that. There's also another reason, and this goes back to whom do you seek? You start knocking on doors and want a spiritual experience. If Holy Spirit isn't there, you're going to be in some trouble. Will you have a spiritual experience? Probably, especially if you take on all the mechanical methods and do all of these things and intentionally decide that you want to have a spiritual experience, whether God wants you to or not. I'm not going to tell you not to seek communion with Holy Spirit. I'm going to say discern it and make sure it's what it is. And there are those who do not necessarily have their faith in Christ that play games around it. Now, if your faith is in Christ, you're protected. How protected? Well, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about, continuing on the first bullet of whom do you seek? And we just now are into this. The first I, right? The first subtopic is there is a way that seems right to man. We got a second topic under whom do you seek? And that's a scriptural one. We're going to talk about this not being a carnival ride. To chase a spiritual experience like a carnival ride will end up, well, we'll talk about that carnival ride too. On the other side of the break, I am your host, Leander Grace. We've got a big old program tonight, lots of information, chock full of spiritual stuff. We're talking about conscious contact. We haven't even gotten to the good part yet, but we are talking about conscious contact. Scripturally speaking, we're bringing this through the scriptures. We're going to dance through them. We're going to connect some dots. And if we have time, we'll have a guided meditation at the end of the broadcast. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of the things that are going on. The very first thing is there's some changes. Change is upon us. Upon every level and dimension of change that we as a species can think of and on levels and dimensions that we cannot yet imagine. These changes will be coming quickly. They're going to be coming on to us. It's going to be something. Change is upon us. The reason for this broadcast is to get us ready, especially evangelical or Protestant Christians or anyone else who's been oogie boogie boogie about this stuff. There is a very scriptural based reason to get ready for spiritual contact, for hearing the voice of God. And there's a lot of different things to get in the middle of it. And we're going to try to point some of those things out and understand that we're built for this. And God's waiting for your call. I'm your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back on the other side.
Where the children of tomorrow
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, your silence will not protect you, and God is not going, is not silent. Holy Spirit is not silent. The heavens are constantly declaring the glory of God, and he will be pouring out the Spirit upon all flesh. How do I know? Because he said so. And looking at the clock, things, the seasons and the times, and we're supposed to know this. And if you don't know this, then those of us who do know this, we are charged with letting you know this. Change is upon us. The King is coming. We need to be ready for the preparatory set. What's the preparatory set? When he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? What's the purpose of the Father's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh? What's the purpose of having people prophesy and dream dreams and doing all that? Well, the purpose to have people prophesy and dream dreams and shout and look like idiots and take all of the harsh talk that people who do not understand, that is all it is, they do not understand. God has not given them a spirit of understanding. And because that is the truth, then we need to pray for them. That is our admonishment. That is what we're told to do. But why would God want to do that? What's the purpose? So we can all sit around like on the day of Pentecost and people can call us drunk? Well, it might happen. But let's take a look at the promise that was made in Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Here we go, got that one stick. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, for from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is Jeremiah. And he was telling Judah and the house of Israel, both. Why? Because God wants us together. Now, how is it that we're going to all know the Lord? Well, we're going to hear his voice. How are we going to hear his voice? Welcome to the broadcast. That's what we're talking about tonight. Tuning up our instrument, clearing out the temple, getting our very personal persons ready for the coming of the Lord. And if we don't do this, will you hear his voice when he calls? Will you be able to hear that? Do you know what it is? Hebrews, again, Paul reiterates with Hebrews, and he says, where did he get this? He got this from Jeremiah. The letter to the Hebrews was written. It's not new material. Some of it's new because Jesus. But that's a fulfillment. It wasn't a surprise once they found out that it occurred. So Hebrews 8:10, let's take a look at that. Hebrews Chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Oh, after what days? Well, we'll have to look ahead. That's not for this broadcast, but you can look at the previous verses in Hebrews 8 and find out what after these days are. Remember, there's time frames. There's a this, then, and this, and then that. And then after this, then that's going to happen. And then after this, that's going to happen. And what we need to do, I'm going to suggest you might want to take your 60-minute with four commercial interruptions pattern of thinking and understand that this is a process. It's a process that God is going to bring about, and he wants us to help get each other ready. So let's do that. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me. It will sound familiar. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, their unrighteousness. Pardon me, let me start over. Pardon me, Father. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Right? So that's Hebrews 8:10. That's a reiteration of what's coming, just in case those of the northern kingdom that he was talking to, those people, those Hebrews in the area, he's reiterating what they should already know as a matter of course, but maybe they don't. It's news they really need to know, but perhaps they weren't given to know about. All right, so let's move right along. Where are we? Oh, yes, the next bullet. So God wants to have relationship with us. God wants to have a deep relationship with us. Beyond what's your homework? Capable of having that. And after those days, whatever those days were prior to verse 10, this is what we can expect to have occur. And we're told all through the scriptures that the law is going to be written on our heart. And who's the law? We're told God, you know, the truth, the word, the law, Messiah, Torah, all of these are interchangeables. All of these things are interchangeables, idioms depending on the context. And it's beautifully and it's poetic. And you say, well, Leander Grace, how can you read that and get that? This is what I'm trying to say. Having a personal relationship with Christ, asking Holy Spirit to teach you, not the, what do you need, what do you need, what do you need. The Father will take care of your needs. And if you forget, he'll remind you. But the Father will, if you are going through a spiritual experience, and if it becomes intense, and all these great awakening things that they're talking about, how is it working? I'm afraid of it. Well, there's going to be a little unsettling. You should be unsettled because half of the fun of the ride is not knowing what's coming next, sort of. But that's also where the trust in Holy Spirit comes in. You say, well, Leander Grace, why haven't you gotten to that next bullet? Well, there's a lot we need to talk about. Who is it that you're wanting to talk to? Why are you seeking them? Because I want to tell you, if you do go in contact with Holy Spirit, there's a completely different occurrence. If you're going with a familiar spirit, one that wants to help you with everything without you doing anything for your personal growth, that's not something that you need. It's going to interfere with you. Because eventually it will want to exact something from you, and if you don't freely give it, it will be taken by force. Demons are not fun to deal with. Demonically possessed people are not fun to deal with. They live by prison rules, period. And that's the ones that have rules. So make sure that you know why you want to knock on a door, whose door you're knocking on, what you're seeking, and what you expect to find. Because if it's a poof, what do you need? You're going to get that exactly. And everything that goes along with it. The greedy company, the unsuredness, surrounded by liars, surrounded by thieves, surrounded by everybody else who's got their own little genie in the bottle going, poof, what do you need, poof, what do you need, poof, what do you need, without any spiritual growth or work. That is not how the God of the living works. That is how the God of the dead works. Who are you worshiping, really? So you want to know Holy Spirit. You want to know Jesus more. You want to knock on that door. You want to have this closer walk. It will come if it's Holy Spirit that you seek. Don't push this. If it's a relationship in Christ that you're wanting, don't treat it like a carnival ride and the first one in line gets the most. This is a very personal road that you'll have, a very personal walk that you'll have, and the one who will take charge is not Leandra Grace, it's Holy Spirit. God will send Holy Spirit to teach. Because the reason to be filled with the Spirit is for instruction, edification, and training. You say, well, Leandra Grace, is that bullet? Nope, we're not there yet. We're skipping it. We're going to skip that. You'll find what it is in a minute. Now, the next one is who's seeking you? Who's seeking you? Do you know? Because, again, that kind of goes back up to what do you need? If you want a carnival ride, you'll get a carnival ride. If you want a familiar spirit to tell you what the lottery numbers are, well, they'll get close because not even them can get to the probability of things. They don't control probability. They'll just make you to believe that they do. But they'll divert your attention to some other filthy lucre and some other ill-gotten game. So if that's what you want, you'd have that if that's what you want. But it has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with the Father. It has nothing to do with Yeshua HaMashiach. We serve the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And those spirits, evil spirits, are dead. Choose. Leave that where that is, and we're going to ask, who is it? Ask the Spirit, who is it? How do you know? If you do not get a clear identity, there may be a reason. You may need to have a little bit more faith. Remember Gideon, he got off real easy. He was like, okay, so can you go ahead and read about Gideon in the scriptures? You know, he was really kind of scared because they hadn't heard the word of the Lord in a long time, and all of a sudden here's the Lord saying, an angel of the Lord telling him instructions. He's like, are you really? It had been so long since any one of the children of Israel had an experience in the book of Judges, is the way you find it, in the children of Israel, that nobody knew what it looked like anymore. Where are we today, 2023? Does anybody really know what it looks like anymore? Who is seeking you, and how do you know who it is? And I'm going to tell you this, if they cannot confess Christ, you don't want to talk to them. If they will accept instructions as your servant, you don't want to talk to them. If they will do your bidding, I'd be very wary. Because Holy Spirit, the relationship with Holy Spirit is a whole lot easier. Coming into alignment with and trusting Holy Spirit in a relationship is not, well, it can be. There's ups and there's downs, and we'll talk about some of that here in the broadcast. So let's go back up to that bullet point. Well, the Father says put that off. He wants me to highlight that and come back, so I'm going to highlight that and come back because it's a good bullet. You're really going to want a copy of this. It's a good bullet point. It is phenomenal. And when the Father revealed that to me, I said, that's where that goes. He says, that's exactly, you're right. So there we have that. And we're going to come back to it. Now, what I want you to understand during this process that you're going to go through, there's a lot of physical things. We're going to talk about relationship with Holy Spirit here in a minute. But there's going to be a lot of things that's going to go on. Your body is going to feel different during this process. And the Father says, no, that's right, go back up to the top. Well, actually, the guardians are saying go back up to the top because they won't connect it unless we do it this. No one's going to connect it unless we do it this way. So all of this, discerning of the spirits, knowing Holy Spirit, trusting Holy Spirit, let's talk a little bit about this relationship with Holy Spirit. Understand that a relationship with Holy Spirit, when you begin to trust Holy Spirit, it is participatory. It's participatory. There will be things that you'll need to do, things that you'll need to do that are for edification, make sure that you're staying healthy, things like that. It's participatory. There's studying involved. There's doing better. There's making a conscious effort to do things differently that don't hurt your body, that don't put yourself in dangerous situations or emotionally unstable situations, because Holy Spirit's going to want your attention. And the other thing is synchronistic timing. Now, Holy Spirit's not going to prove to you that it's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to provide you opportunities for you to see who it is. Understand this. So if you're doubting and if you need a little bit of help, you don't have to, you can ask for a little bit. You'll get it. Because just as if you want this personal relationship to work in Christ, it can. But it's a two-way street. You got to get to know each other. Know what Holy Spirit's standards are. They're very high. But Holy Spirit will get to know you. You'll get to know Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit already knows you. You know that. But you'll get to understand yourself better too. Because the process, it's a relationship. It's participatory and there's synchronistic timing. But it's not just a relationship. Trusting Holy Spirit becomes a process. And within that process is not just comfort and instruction, but there's also training for obedience. And for those who are out there and doing the work of the prophet, you know that there is training for obedience. There's more than a few things that we're brought into obedience for. So Holy Spirit's not all fluffy and sunshine and rainbows. What would the purpose of that be? In fact, in the middle of this great awakening, you might find yourself in some turmoil. Let's go ahead and go to Jeremiah 31 again. Because during this great awakening, there is an undoing. As the Father goes through and takes all of these things off that no longer serve you, and we become willing to allow that process to occur. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, I like the things the way they are. Well, you know, talk to God. Talk to the Father about it. Have a one-on-one with Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it. I'm telling you what the scriptures say. Jeremiah 31:18. Jeremiah shares with us in the Spirit. He says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. I want you to understand that when you come in contact with Holy Spirit, the first thing that starts to happen is the clearing of the temple. It's the clearing of the temple. And for you of the Northern Kingdom, you will be bemoaning yourself. And if there's anything that needs to be cleaned up, it'll come right into your face and it may not be comfortable. Trust what God is showing you. You can sit in a corner and beat yourself up because you did all these bad things. But God said he forgave you for that. The adversary will come up and say, hey, remember back, remember back, remember back. And God will say, forget about it, forget about it. Did you make amends? Yep. Did you grow from it? Yep. Forget about it. Did I not tell you my work with you and that was done? Then we'll move on. Because Ephraim is bemoaning himself. He didn't know how to take instruction. The Northern Kingdom didn't know how to take instruction. But he says, I'm a young bull. I don't know how to do the yoke. Turn me. Let me know which way to go. Way. And I'll go the way you say to go. And he said, and I was turning. I repented. And after that, what happened? I was instructed. And he smote upon his thigh. Why? Because that's a smacking on his own authority. He's like giving that away. He's smacking his thigh. That's not, he's hurting his own thigh because he broke his own authority. He broke his reliability of authority. He says, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Now, exactly what all this is not relevant to the broadcast, other than to know that you will, if you're going through the awakening process, you will go through times like this, where you see where you missed it, or you see where you didn't go right, or you see all this. Understand the adversary might try to get in there. That's why we need to know who we're talking to. Might try to get in there and whisper in your ear and say, yeah, yeah, and God remembers that. No, God said, that's okay. That's why he's saying this. I turned you and you were turned, and you got ashamed and you did all that, and you know that you made the mistake, but it's okay. God turned you and you stay turned. Understand that. Because when you go through this process of awakening, a spiritual awakening, it's no different than, it's very, very much similar to and can be likened unto any recovery program that has at least 12 steps, and perhaps not more than that. Because the one thing that we're recovering from as a nation and as a world is sin. We're recovering from sin. You say, well, I didn't do anything. No, but you got some on you. You're affected by it. Are you paying taxes that you don't really owe? Yep, you're affected by sin and wickedness. It's the truth. It's far-reaching and all of that, and it's everywhere. We need to get rid of it, and we do it by changing us. We do it by praying to the Father. So let's take a look at this. Oh, we're coming up to another break. There you have that. So let's see where we're at. Yes, okay, so let's review where we're at. The methods. You can do this mechanically or allow Holy Spirit to take the wheel, because Holy Spirit will take the wheel in God's time. And understand that if we seek experience, we're going to get it. Jesus said that. Seek and you'll find. He didn't say seek the kingdom and you'll find the kingdom. He didn't say seek water and you'll find water. He didn't say seek me and you'll find me. That's not the words that are in the scripture, although we know those things are true. But I'm also going to say that whatever we seek, we're going to find. Like a heat-seeking missile, boom, there it is. If we're that powerful spiritually, let me get a drink. And if you're looking for trouble, it will find you. There's no thing about that. Let me clear my throat now. No, that was a big old clearing. Glad you didn't hear that. That was natty. So discerning the spirits, know who it is you want to talk to, why you want to talk to them, because if you get one just because you want to get, well, ooh, I wouldn't talk to spirits. I wouldn't do it. God said don't do it. That's reason enough. People say, well, why can't we do it? There's only one spirit that I know that was raised from the dead and audibly spoke to. Now, my memory may be faulty. I'm not talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. That's something different. But any spirit that was allowed to rise from the grave and speak to a living being is when Saul blew it. And he went to consult one of the witches to raise a spirit from the dead and raised Eli. And it was not good from that point on for Saul. He messed up. He was the one that cleared out all the mediums and the witchers and the thingies and the that. Then he messed up. Everything was gone after that. It wasn't just the kingdom that was being taken. It was the life now. So if you're seeking a ride, you'll get one, but eventually you will crash land among the unclean birds. And they will have their way with you. So know who it is that you're seeking. I am your host, Leanna Grace. When we come back on the other side, the ever-elusive verse that goes with the ever-elusive bullet point. This is kind of fun. Thank you, Father. Being elusive. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about Kundalini, and we're going to talk about that when we get to neurological pathways and that spiral energy. So understand that we're going to answer to that. We're going to talk about what that is. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Gospel of Thomas. We're going to bring a Gnostic text in from the Nag Hammadi Library. We're going to bring another text in and that will be the gospel of truth. A lot of people are wanting to hear that. Now, before we go too far, well, yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and go to break. I just get going. I just want to keep talking about God and talk about Holy Spirit and talking about this stuff because people ask me, how can I do what you do, Leanna Grace? Well, I don't know how you can do what I do. But this is how the Father, this is the plan that the Father gave to me that says, tell them this is how it works and connect these thoughts, use these scriptures, give them this picture, and then let them decide how badly they do or they do not want to hear my voice. There's a reason that the people at the base of the mountain shuddered. So remind them at the end of the price that this can be. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to, let's listen to a little bit of Reba. Reba McEntire, Back to God. And remember I told you some months ago that there'll come a time when all of the programs are going to sound like Holistic Truth and Empathic Channel and Scriptures and Scuttlebutts all mixed in together. This one of those episodes. I am your host, Leanna Grace, Reba McEntire, Back to God. Absolutely. And we'll be back on the other side. Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, we got to talk about it all. Got to talk about it loud. Welcome back here to Empathic Channel. I am your host, Empathic Channel, Leander Grace. We're talking about tonight scriptural basis and the process, all of the things that go along with it, maybe not every little thing, but everything we can pack into 2 hours broadcast tonight. Hopefully we can hear talking about conscious contact with Holy Spirit or through the Father, through the Son. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What is that? It's a whole thing. But let's not chase it like a carnival ride. We seek it and we will find. We're told in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we don't have to seek this experience. This is what I want us to understand. But to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will happen. How do I know? Because it says he's going to pour out his spirit. And in James 1:17, we're reminded that every good and perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that mean? It means the light is always on, and it's always the same, and it always sounds the same, whether the words are different or not. And when you start hearing, you'll understand what those words mean. And the Father said he wants me to use those words as a touch point for you. When you start hearing, that you'll understand. God wants to hear from you, and he wants you to hear him as well. He's waiting for your call. Now, let's talk about this. We got that. Let's talk about this. We got that. Now, in yoga, now, people have asked me before, do you do yoga? No, I don't do yoga. Perhaps I could benefit from doing some yoga, but I don't. I mean, I sit cross-legged in a chair to keep my spine straight. That's, you know, if you want to call that doing yoga, but it's not. It's sitting with my legs crossed and my spine straight. So there you have that. And I do it for comfort, not for any intensive thing. And it just happens to keep spine straight, which is what I need. So let's talk a little bit about this whole process of receiving information. And we've talked in the program before that our body is an antenna. And we've talked about that. And our neurology acts, you know, as the pathways, and we need to be sure that we're getting signal versus noise. And that, again, is who are you talking to? So the neurological pathways, there's three things we need to remember. Is one is to prepare them. So it's going to be real simple. Two is to protect them. And three, we're going to talk about enhancing them. Because protecting them and enhancing them can kind of be the same thing. So we're going to answer some questions about that. And we're going to go over to the side here and talk about what a substance is called, nootropics. Those are brain enhancers. And there's a great big market, great big commercial market out there for these nootropics, eating jellyfish and jellyfish brains, or I'm not sure what all they're doing about that. But I want to talk about some nootropics, some you know, some you may not know. All of the words you're going to know, some may surprise you. So at the very top of the list, the very most common nootropics that we use every day, almost every man, woman, and child, that's not true, that's an exaggeration, but it is so common that we don't give it another thought, and that is caffeine. Caffeine in the form of tea or in the form of coffee, my personal favorite, it's a nootropic. Now, when you start adding cream and sugar, then the nootropic value starts going down because your body has to handle the metabolizing of all of the other things as well. And so some of the nootropic value goes down. Sugar is not a nootropic. Sugar is an imitator. I just wanted to share that with you. We'll talk about that on another broadcast. Another nootropic that some folks may find surprising for me to not recommend if you're not using it now and you're doing just fine, please do not, and that is nicotine. I am not against the use of nicotine. I am against the smoking of cigarettes, what we have today. Now, understand, tobacco is a very ancient plant. It's been used for millennia. It's been used for millennia. What we're doing to it now, today, in 2023, is absolutely obscene and insane. I don't know of a safe tobacco to smoke. And there are some people who are not able to live without nicotine. Now, let's talk about what nicotine is. You say, well, it's a poison. No, that's cigarettes. They have so adulterated the tobacco market. And I'm talking, who are the they? Exactly. Those who want to poison us, those who have had their hands on the steering wheel and taken us straight to, what is it President Trump said, taken us straight to hell. And our health is so bad. And our memory, they have erased our history and our historical memory so bad, or at least our most recent knowledge base so bad that we forget that nicotine was used as a nootropic. And they were not poisonous when they were first made. That's the truth of it. They did not have the poison level. So what does nicotine do in our body? Well, it acts as an acetylcholine substitute. Now, understand, when you're doing brain work, when you're doing spiritual work, your brain is on fire. It just is. It is burning. You're thinking a million miles a minute. You're like a grad student on an all-night cram session, only more. And it's been documented and reported, and I can't necessarily give you the quote. Feel free to look it up and check my math, that someone who was involved in deep, intense study, any of the scholars know this, or spiritual work, they're burning as many calories as a marathon runner at times. That's how hot the body gets. And it's not that they're not doing the marathon work. Their muscles are not doing the work. I'm not at all comparing, but it is still an energy level of a marathon runner that's required. So you'll need to feed your brain. And there are those who require a high level of acetylcholine. And the reason why they have such a high affinity for nicotine is because the nicotine is a substitute for acetylcholine. Here's a case in point. Those of you who have ever been any smoker, anyone who's ever been a cigarette smoker, who has also had a surgery or an injury that required an opiate pain medicine, what those who take the opiate pain medicine will realize is that their desire and ability to smoke the cigarette and inhale, take a proper inhalation, increases. And not only that, but you get the double drags, right, where you get, it goes through your nose and you take another drag, and it seems like it's a nicotine hit, and it is, but it's also making up for a need of acetylcholine in your body, and you need it quick. You don't need nicotine. Well, you do because of your need for acetylcholine. Will an acetylcholine supplement help? Don't know. That's worth looking into. But nicotine by itself is not a poison any more than anything else is when taken too much. anything taken in. You can OD on anything, please. So there you have that. Just in fact, nicotine has become one of the number one, we need to look into this at autopsy time, one of the number one covert poisons that people are using now, bringing on heart attacks and a poison that's hard to trace. So that's something to think about. And another one, of course we know omega-3s, any of the omega-3s with DHA, but another nootropic, and some people may find this very difficult to believe, is cannabis or hemp. Now, the moral authority on cannabis does not exist. This is not a moral issue. This is a neurological issue. And those with neurological injuries or those who have diseases to their neurological system will find that cannabis and hemp will help their neurology a great deal and the neurological deficits a great deal. And how it works is this, especially those who are suffering from anything that is going to destroy the myelin sheath. What is the myelin sheath? The myelin sheath is that coating of the nerve. Just like an electrical cord has an outside rubber case, the wire does, so do our nerves. This is a really simple instruction on it. So when the myelin sheath gets nicked, signals leak out. Oh, goodness. And it turns into noise, just like a fiber optic that's nicked. And it turns into noise, and your body then records that those signal degradation or the signal excitation or all of them mixed up, it registers it as pain. Which is why some have to take an opiate, and which is why then they use more acetylcholine. Well, why would that be it? Because the opiate itself is a type of medication called an anticholinergic medication. And that means that it's going to inhibit choline. And that's why when somebody takes an anticholinergic, they want to use more nicotine, because the nicotine is taking the place in the neurotransmitter fitting spaces there. I would block and tackle of it. Not exactly block and tackle, but a Lego style fitting together. And that's how that works with the neurotransmitters. And so is nicotine a sin? No, not if you need it. If you're going to shoot somebody if you don't have it, yeah. But I would use the least poisonous form, okay, because now all of the tobacco out there is full of all kinds of stuff. If you can find one that's not, then that's up to you. They have the designer stuff. Go for it. Within reason, talk to Father. So the other issue is, well, do I have to quit smoking for God to love me? No. It would be best if you quit smoking and moved to something that was safer. If you need the nicotine, you need the nicotine. I have never had a moment in my walk with God, in my walk through all of this, not one moment has the Father ever said to me, suffer until I find a way. Listen to me even though you're suffering. No, no, no. The Father will help relieve the suffering. He gives us these medications to help us do that. Why would we be upset with one another because we're using those things? Would you say, well, Leanne, there's addicts and there's this and that. Of course there are. There always have been and there always will be until we can start using love to heal hearts. And the Father will tell us how to do that, and we need to be willing to listen, and that's what this program is about, listening. So Kundalini, let's talk about that. Everybody wants to hear that. Let's talk about that. So the question of enhancements, we got that. All right, so there you go. Do we need them? Yeah, I wouldn't go out and get a whole bunch of drugs and just so that you can have a spiritual experience, because once again, you're going to open that door. You don't know who's in it. You don't know. You don't know who's behind door number. What did you ask for? What do you seek? What do you need? Remember, that's going to be a staple thing. A little tattoo in the program. And so the one thing that I don't recommend, people may find that hard to believe, do I think that people shouldn't drink? No. I like a good Guinness or some perhaps other. I like a good brandy, too. I do. I like brandy. But not all of it at once, right? And certainly not when I'm doing spiritual work. In fact, it says in the scriptures that if you're going to come into the congregation of God, don't be drinking drinks. Don't get drunk. Don't do that. It's a different frequency. Now, God gives us wine and corn, you know, the new corn and the wine for us to celebrate and feel good and have all the yummy feelings and to party on like a rock star. That's what it's for. It's not, but we're not going to stay in a party. There's work to do. And so that's where the moderation comes in. Let me get a drink. And the other point is alcohol makes you very full of yourself. And when you're full of yourself, you can't get full of the Holy Spirit. You and Holy Spirit begin competing for attention in your own brain. Trust me, it's just the way it is. Alcohol puts the ego out front, whereas cannabis will put the ego back in a listening and observation mode. Not, that's a blanket statement, boom. And I don't recommend the highfalutin. They've got this cannabis now that's got like, oh, I don't know. I think you blow up or something if you smoke it. I don't know who wants to blow up with it, but it's got a really high percentage of it. Extremely high percentage of THC. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this is a problem. Our bodies are not designed to metabolize and process those high levels of THC. And the folks that are using it, those high levels of THC, I'm talking anything stronger than Acapulco Gold. I'll talk about that in a minute. I really am going to be talking about it. And the reason is this is because your body, just like we were talking about the neurotransmitter of nicotine and acetylcholine, your body has neurotransmitter fittings and all of that stuff. And the cannabis plant in and of itself has a built-in governess chemical, and it's called CBD. You say, well, yeah, just take CBD, it'll be okay. Well, the incomplete plant isn't enough for everybody. And so for those of you who have a moral issue with cannabis in and of itself, and you think that somebody should have to have a little written note from somebody else to get it, then you're part of the problem. That makes it scarce. That makes it out of reach. That opens up a black market. That opens up a shame. That opens up a bony finger. It opens up a line of crime. We don't need that. We need good teachers. We need good instruction. We need good moral character. And we need discipline. We don't need to shackle everybody else because this kid over here got in trouble. We were all kids. We all got in trouble to some degree at some point if you're a card-holding member of the human race. There's a learning curve growing up in things. And alcohol does not help in the spiritual process. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, they had it during the Last Supper. Yes, but they didn't get drunk. It wasn't part of moderation. I'm going to say that. The Guardian said leave that there, and we're going to leave that there. Alcohol does not help in this experience. It'll make you see the wrong things. It'll make you draw the wrong conclusions. It'll put you out front, and it'll be all about you. That's what happens with alcohol. And there's a time and a place for that, but not in the middle of scriptural training. So, and we haven't hit that bullet yet. We still got that bullet to hit. And I think we're going to hit that coming up right real quick. So we've already talked about liquid medium. We talked about that on Friday. I want to hit that just a little bit more. There's water and wine. We'll talk about the liquid medium, water and wine. And then we just, you know, the drunken. There's also oil and spirit. And those are symbologies that I'm going to invite you to look into, because the first miracle that Jesus performed was the water to wine. And we do know that the oil that is burning in the lampstand is representative of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite you into that symbology a little bit, but understand also in our bodies we have a liquid medium. We are bags of mostly water. We have electrolytic, electrical carryings, hopefully, you know, a salty water in our bodies that carry the electrical signals necessary to make our body function. And that's it. What else is in that liquid medium can either interfere with or magnify any signals that you do or do not get. Now let's talk about this spiral energy stuff, all right? Some call it Kundalini. And those of the Great Unwashed. We'll continue to call it Kundalini, but hopefully those of the Great Washed, that's what that means, will, those who are washed in the blood and bathing in the Spirit will understand that it is a borrowed term. It is a description and not a substance. Let me clear my throat. But this is the very reason. It is a very powerful force. It is a very powerful energy. And for this reason, we do need to have respect for the process. Well, why would we have to have respect for the process for all of the other bullet points above? Now, I don't recommend, I am not a Kundalini yoga person. Don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about it. I did pull some of the words from some of the yoga masters to find out what it is that they have to say, and I'll either agree and disagree, but we're going to go ahead and handle this together nonetheless. So when we're talking about a spiraling energy, we just talked about our body has is pathways. We just talked about there's neurological pathways. We need to prepare them. We need to protect them. Do we need to do anything else? Well, if you're using nicotine now, use the least invasive amount so that your lungs don't have to, you know, blow up. So vapor. And if you're going to use a vape, then I would suggest also using one that's mostly VG, vegetable glycerin. But there's going to have to be a little bit of the PG, right? And they go, I've got all those stuff. You're going to have a little bit of propylene glycol because that's what they're using to mix all of the flavors. Some are oil, some are not. And so it makes the glycerin and the flavors and all the stuff mixed together. It needs a carrier and a barrier. It needs a what? It needs a carrier and a barrier to mix them all together. You say, well, Leanna Grace, why are you pointing on that? Why is that instructive? Well, because when we talked just last on the light liquid medium, we've got water and wine and oil and spirit. And there has to be something in the middle to mix them all together. That's Holy Spirit that mixes all the water and the wine and the oil together and burns brightly. And I wanted to bring that symbolism to you, and I want you to go ahead and double check that to see if that's correct. Because we are not dealing with a serpent energy here. We are not dealing with a serpent spirit here. If you want to deal with that, that's fine. Nothing else that I say going forward is going to matter. Because you've made up your mind on who you want to follow. But if you want to understand this energy so that when it does come upon you, because if you are part of the ones that are going to have the spirit poured upon you, this will come upon you. And it will be strange. And it will be odd. And it will be perhaps fearful if you don't understand the process of what's going on. So here we go. The yoga masters, and this is Wikipedia. The yoga masters, and we may or may not get to this before the break. We got another break coming up. So the yoga masters say that the spiritual teacher, Meher Baba, I don't know anything about him. This is right out of Wikipedia. I'm bringing it to you. Emphasized the need for a master when actively trying to awaken Kundalini. They call the spiraling energy Kundalini. There's a reason for it. It is not a serpent. Well, maybe they are. Okay. But it's the same mechanism. They borrow it. They turned it into a word for a serpent. And now everybody is afraid to seek Holy Spirit when it gets this. They're like, no, I don't. I don't want to hear. I don't want to sit at the mountain and hear. Moses, you go here for us. This process, the Israelites, dare I say, feared. Because it's a fierce process. It's a fierce process. Not negative, not bad, can be uncomfortable. So let's take a look at it. It says, Kundalini is a latent power in the higher body. When awakened, it pierces through six chakras or functional centers and activates them. These things are true. I just don't like the name. Without a master, the awakening of Kundalini cannot take anyone very far on the path. This is true. And such indiscriminate or premature awakening is fraught with dangers of self-deception as well as the misuse of powers. Kundalini enables man to consciously cross the lower planes, and it ultimately merges into the universal cosmic power of which it is a part, and which also it is described as Kundalini, at times described as Kundalini. The important point is that the awakened Kundalini is helpful only up to a certain degree. This is true. After which it cannot ensure further progress. It cannot dispense with the need for the grace of a perfect master. And I submit to you that perfect master is Christ, and that perfect master is Holy Spirit. And so this yoga master, and I really don't know, maybe I know more than I know I know, but the whole thing about this is a powerful thing. And when this energy starts coming up and you start knowing more than you ever knew, and you know more than you know, and you the problem is that you are going to be 12 foot tall and bulletproof. It's called having the feeling of a Buddha body. You are just way bigger than you've ever felt before. Understand that you're not that big. Your aura is that big. Your consciousness just got filled up in the middle of your aura. It went whoo-ah like a balloon, and that's how big you feel. And your perception, even though you didn't grow an inch, is a little bit taller. That is a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. But understand that those are the portions of the program that Jesus would refer to as being drunk in the spirit. Drunken spirit. And you feel 12 foot tall and bulletproof, and you might have some spiritual gifts given to you, but what is your ego doing in this process? Oh my goodness. That's the reason for the spiritual training. That's the reason you've been going through the things that you've been going through. That's why your brain has been on overtime trying to correct the things of your past. What does it say? Ephraim is bemoaning himself through the Great Awakening. It waking up is hard to do. It tears away everything you thought you knew and replaces it with what is. It is a very harsh process as your paradigm in your brain starts to rearrange. And the Father says, give it to him now. Okay, so let's go back to that second bullet. It's going to, hopefully it'll be a bit on bump. I don't know, maybe not. So after all we've gone through, all these bullet points, all this other stuff, we got some more things to go through as well. But through all of this stuff, and I want to get to the gospel of truth as well. Through all of this stuff, now I think you're going to understand why we saved this bullet for last. This is all the way back up into methods. When we ask, whom do you seek? Now, there's a scripture that can be, that is usually interpreted one way, and it's okay in its literal context to be interpreted that way, but I want to give you another level of interpretation, and that is that this whole process of getting to know Holy Spirit is a love relationship. It's a love relationship. It develops over time. And we're told in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake love till he please. And I'm going to offer to you that this particular verse can also be applied allegorically to contacting through Holy Spirit, pushing this, and awakening those things before they're ready. Awakening this relationship before we're mature enough to handle it. Before we've gone through, because I want to tell you this whole thing, when you get on the other side of it, you're going to be, responsibility is required. Responsibility with information is required. No ego tripping is allowed. Seeing yourself for who you are so that you can see others for who they are, it's a big deal. So all of these things go on together, and if Kundalini is a false name, it is an energy that clears the pathways, the nadi. We'll have to talk about that on another program. The nadi, which are the it's energy pathways. So that the Father of Lights, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of Lights, can bring this information and this data, information and healing through quantum of light is what we're dealing with in this. And there's times that we're drunk and times that we're sober in this process, drunk in the spirit and sober in the spirit. Understand, you can be drunk in the spirit. It's not going to do anybody any good but you. That's true. Drunk in the spirit is for you and you alone. That's a woo. And Jesus would put, talk to that a couple of times in, I think it was the gospel, I think it was Pistis Sophia. I think it was that one when he says, you guys only think that because you're drunk. He's like, yeah, you guys are saying that the disciples were learning under him and they were all puffed up. They're like, well, we can do this and we can do that. Because you're saying you're drunk in the spirit. You're drunk. You know, you only think that because you've been so close to me for so long, reality has escaped you, right? You're drunk in the spirit. So drunk in the spirit is fun, but it's no good to anyone. And it's something to chase and somewhere to be and something to experience, but who's it going to help? So that is good. That's a confirmation. That's like, you know, but becoming sober as well is where we become useful. We become useful. So expectations and questions. Your aim leads to your destination. That's it. What you're seeking is what you're going to find. If you're looking for Holy Spirit, the standards are pretty high. Holy Spirit will help instruct you and comfort you and train you and instruct you and comfort you and train you and discipline you so you can be polished for God. If you're willing to go through this, that's fine, because God has a plan. He has jobs for us to do. These are wonderful gifts, and this is what I wanted to bring to you. And we're going to maybe just go right on through and not even have a break, because the Father says we're not going to do the meditation, but we are going to do the gospel of truth. So there's a price to pay through this great awakening, and that may mean everything. This process that you go through, this renewing of your mind, and that's exactly what this process is going to do. It is the renewing of your mind. Now, some folks refer to this as the chrism process, and I wanted to give it that name, although I don't like that name, because if they talk about the chrism process, it has to do with the spinal column and the spinal, you know, the spinal cord and spinal column, spinal fluid. Yes, of course, that's the medium. But then they transpose it and give it names of Mary, Joseph, and Christ. And I think it diminishes it. So I wanted to use the word, but I did not want to put the meme out there because I did not want to put that as a picture in your mind. I wanted to explain it to you how it works. And so there is a price to pay. It could cost you everything. And wasn't that what Jesus said? Following me could cost you everything. We talk all the time and we joke. We say that the Great Awakening, yeah, nobody will talk to me now. We don't agree. They don't see things. That's because you grew up and there's still children in their thinking and their view, and they don't want to see it the way you see it, because that means they have to change. Just like the way we were before we might have decided that we wanted to not change. We changed. We decided to. They're still there. They don't know if they're willing to pay the price. They don't know what the price is going to be. I want to bring up a little, Father, yes, he says Gallagher, okay. So I just want to bring up a little blurb. You know, when we're living in the flesh and we're in the mode of, poof, what do you need, poof, what do you need, poof, what do you need? You know, there's this whole thing of wanting to be show off and wanting to do this and wanting everybody to have the focus, you know. There was a comic, his name is Gallagher, and he'd had the Sledge-O-Matic. This was back in the 80s. And back in, it was like, oh, I guess circa 84 or 85-ish, I was watching his HBO special, and he was talking about people who have so much money that they can't spend it. Or I think that's what it is. This is the way I'm telling it. Pardon me if I don't mean to offend if I paraphrase in the wrong way, but the gist of the story will remain the same. You know, and they were very impressed. I think it was a king or something like that he was talking about. And he's very impressed with themselves and their own wealth and all of this stuff. And he was going to market and he goes, oh, he liked that. Right? There's something he saw that he liked. And he says, well, are you sure that this is what you want? Because I can get you that. He goes, no. How much is that? That's what I want. He goes, well, it costs a lot. And he says, well, then give me too much. Right? Isn't that what the flesh says? And we want that, but you know, it doesn't really matter. It costs a lot. Then give me too much. Got to be careful of that. We got to be careful of that. Unless, of course, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit. Because there is a price to pay. The walk is costly. But it is worth it. And I say, give me too much. Right? So for those of you who are wondering and hesitant and didn't know, this is what it is. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. How in the world are we going to hear it if we don't open our ears and be willing to listen and get all the noise out and follow instruction and be able to know what that voice sounds like? We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. Because under talents, we've got joy and industry. Those are the talents. Joy and industry, whether it's industry of knowledge and all of that, we can talk about that also. I'm going forward. I want to get to the gospel of truth. We'll go ahead and go over, I'm sure, and that's okay. But with this joy and industry, I also want to give you a look at the Father's math. With all of these blessings that are going to be poured out and all of these things that are coming our way, and we know that they are. Jesus is coming again. Things are going to be turned right. They may not be just tomorrow, but very, very soon. And so the Father's math goes like this. He's going to give us some. And then we're going to do something with it. And we're going to be productive in our lives for him and produce good fruit for the Father. And at the end of it, he says, how much you got left? Well, I got all this. He goes, oh, well, then let me give you more. So if you take what the Father's got and you add a little of your own, a little more, and I'm not talking about tithing. I'm not talking about planting the seed. I'm talking about effort. I'm talking about effort. That's all I'm talking about. Gives you a gift, and you give it your effort. And God will multiply your talents into more and more and more. But he's given you the talents to serve him and to serve his sheep, to serve his people. Let's equip ourselves, shall we? We're just going to go ahead and go right on through the break because the Father says, yeah, I really do want them to hear at least a portion of the manuscript for those who have never dove outside of the supporting, I call them supporting manuscripts. These are supporting manuscripts, whether we're talking about the book of Joshua or the book of Enoch, and that's not what we're talking about. That's not the book that we have today, or the book of Jubilees, or there's so many that have been hidden from us. You can find a lot of them at the Nag Hammadi Library. I've got a file that I can send you also if you want to go ahead and get the bulleted, in-depth bulleting of this broadcast with accompanying scriptures. That would be great. I could also send you a copy of that because it's not copywritten. What I've got has been passed around, and it's worth reading. It's good, clear form in all of that. So let's go ahead and open this other text. This text is called the Gospel of Truth, and I'm using Codex 2, and it's on page 271 of the collection for those who are curious. 270, rather. Let me go ahead and give it a little sip here. Now, I'm not going to explain so much until the Father tells me to explain, but I'm simply going to read the manuscript as it is given, as it is written, and I've read it a little bit. I've read it before. This isn't a new manuscript to me, but I want those who have wondered whether any of these extra canonical books have any value. We'll be able to find out in just a minute. Now, I said I wasn't going to go to a break, but we are. I'm going to take like a 40-second break so I can stretch my legs, take a couple of deep breaths, and go ahead and get a good drink of water here going down and just kind of rest myself so I can get into a more relaxed mood, because we're going to read a little bit until we go to the end. So tonight's broadcast has been about educating you on the process of hearing, having ears to hear, developing ears to hear, getting ready for the outpouring of the Spirit upon not just those, but all flesh. It's going to be something. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're taking just about a 40-second, it's just the one I sign off with, just so I can have just a minute to stretch my legs and bend and breathe. We'll be back in just a second. Yes, his time. Here we go. This is the gospel of truth. I am, of course, coming back from 40. You know who I am. So, the gospel of truth. Now, this is Codex 2, this is translated by Harold W. Attridge and George W. McRae, and the selections were made from James Robinson's Nag Hammadi Library, and there's a revised edition put out by HarperCollins, and that was put out in 1990. So the gospel of truth, let's go ahead and begin. The gospel of truth is joy for those who have received from the Father of truth the grace of knowing him through the power of the word that came forth from the Pleroma, and the one who is in the thought and the mind of the Father, that is, the one who is addressed as the Savior, that being the name of the work he is to perform for the redemption of those who were ignorant of the Father, while in the name of the gospel and in the proclamation of hope, being discovery for those who search him. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of words. There's a lot of understanding. When we get a little bit further down, I want you to understand that this is amazing work. When the totality went about searching for the one from whom they had come forth, and the totality was inside of him, the incomprehensible, inconceivable one who is superior to every thought. Ignorance of the Father brought about anguish and terror, and the anguish grew solid like a fog, so that no one was able to see. For this reason, error became powerful. It worked on its own matter foolishly, not having known the truth. It set about with its creation, preparing with power and beauty the substitute for truth. This was not then a humiliation for him, the incomprehensible, inconceivable one, for they were nothing, the anguish and the oblivion and the creature of deceit, while the established truth is immutable, imperturbable, perfect in beauty. For this reason, despise error. Thus it had no root, it fell into the fog regarding the Father, while it was involved in preparing works and oblivions and terrors, in order that by means of these it might entice those of the middle and capture them, the ones in the middle, not hot or cold. Those are my words. Let's continue. The oblivion of error was not revealed. A, and there's words missing from the Father. Oblivion did not come into existence from the Father, although it did indeed come into existence because of him. But what comes into existence in him is knowledge, which appeared in order that oblivion might vanish and the Father might be known. Since oblivion came into existence because the Father was not known, then if the Father comes to be known, oblivion will not exist from that moment on. I want us to think about this. If the Father comes to be known, oblivion will not exist from that moment on. This is telling us some things. It's a deeper teaching. Though this, the gospel of the one who is searched for, right? The gospel of the one who was searched for, which was revealed to those who are perfect through the mercies of the Father, the hidden mystery, Jesus, the Christ, enlightened those who were in darkness through oblivion. He enlightened them. He showed them a way, and the way is the truth which he taught them. For this reason, error grew angry at him. See, now we're talking about error as if it is a personification, because in poetic and perhaps in reality, it is. For this reason, error grew angry at him, persecuted him, was distressed at him, and was brought to naught. He was nailed to a tree, and he became fruit of the knowledge of the Father. It did not, however, cause destruction because it was eaten, but to those who ate it, it gave cause to become glad in the discovery, and he discovered them in himself, and they discovered him in themselves. Now, this is going to go on for a little bit, but I want you guys to understand that this is a deeper, this is what awaits you if you will look. He said, well, Leanna Grace, why do we need to look beyond this? Because there is, what is the reason for separate scriptures? There is the law, the Torah, what we call the integrated messaging system. It is a record. It is a legal record. A legal record is usually much less in depth, as it were, than perhaps a narrative record. So in the book of Joshua, we find a narrative record. We're going to talk about this on Wednesday. In the book of Joshua, we find a narrative record that it goes beyond and explains some of the things of the whys and the whys of that happened. And you say, well, why isn't it all just one book? Well, there's levels of explanation and narrative, and then we get in the Torah. That's law. It's law. There's an accounting in it. There's an account that's being zeroed out for us through the whole travailing and the whole traveling and travailing through the scriptures. There's an account against us. And as we move through the scriptures, it seems to me that Yahweh our Elohim is doing everything possible to keep us from stepping further on all of this stuff and get us to the finish line in a perfect condition. Now, those are the things of law. The things of Joshua are explanatory. And we find them, it talked about in, there's three separate places, but we find it talked about in book of Samuel and book of Joshua. Both those instances, they're referring to Joshua having it, in Joshua it's having the sun stand still for a day, and it says, yeah, but isn't that written in the book of Joshua? When you get to the book of Joshua, it gives you a little bit more narrative about that book standing still. So we have Torah standing witness for the book of Joshua. You see? So is it canonized and prophetic? Well, I'm not sure. I haven't done the testing of it, but I do know that when I read it, it feels, it's amazing. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. I don't need to defend it. It'll defend itself. So we're going to go to a little bit more, and we're just going to finish this up. As for the incomprehensible, inconceivable one, the Father, the perfect one, the one who made the totality, within him is the totality. And of him, the totality has need, right? Although he retained their perfection within himself, this is within himself, He retained their perfection within himself, which he did not give to the totality. The Father was not jealous. What jealousy indeed could there be between himself and his members? Oh my goodness, this is sounding familiar. For if the Aeon had thus received their perfection, they could not have come. He retains within himself their perfection, granting it to them as a return to him. Understand that there's a lot in this here that we hear Paul talking about. After all these, there came little children also to him to the knowledge of the Father. Pardon me. After these, I'm now on page 271, after all these, there came the little children also, those to whom the knowledge of the Father belongs. I'm going to read that again. After all these, there came the little children also, those to whom the knowledge of the Father belongs. Isn't that amazing? We find in other scriptures just talking about talking to the children if you want to be close to the Father. Having been strengthened, they learned about the impressions of the Father. Now, this particular manuscript we're going to continue with also, but this says that those whose name he knew in advance were called at the end. This is still on page 271. This is not contiguous. I really encourage you all to seek this manuscript out yourself. This is the Gospel of Truth. We have 90 seconds left in the broadcast. I wanted to go a little deeper on some of it. Didn't go quite as deep as I wanted on some, a little deeper on some of the other areas. We can pick this up on another broadcast. Understand that this is important to understand. If God's going to be calling us, we need to know how to listen. If he's going to be pouring out his flesh upon all spirit, we need to know where it's going to hit. And perhaps might be beneficial if we not get on each other's back about what it is that on a daily, if we're not hurting anybody. Somebody's smoking a cigarette, it's none of your business. Somebody's using nicotine, it's not your business, self-righteousness. And cannabis, it's not your self-righteous business either. Those things remain between them and the Father. And I know on a personal level, when those things need to shift, the Father will say so. If those things need to change, the Father will let us know. But if any of those things are helping your brain to keep from blowing up, especially now in these times, why would the Father want you to remove that from you? If you need to go from cigarettes to nicotine puffers or whatever it is, why not do that? I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. We will be back on air, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah and some of those other things. We're going to connect some dots, go down a path. And then on Friday night, we're going to ask the question, to whom with love? Really? Really? To whom? I am your host, Leanna Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time, good night.